Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
When the confusion of culture clouds your vision and your perspective, the Word of God gives clarity. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover 2020 vision by reclaiming God's perspective on today's circumstances. Stay with us. Seems like the busyness of our lives and the chaotic nature of our culture at large tends to draw us into somewhat of a cloudy perspective of our lives and our purpose and why we're even here and what our lives are even about. And if you're like me, that's frustrating. But when you come to the Word of God, God tends to draw away all of the clouds and give you crystal clear perspective on what's important and what really matters. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. We're going to gain 2020 vision today from the Word of God, a series by Pastor Chappell that's designed to help you have God's vision and God's perspective on the priorities of life. 2020 vision is the title of this series, and we're looking forward to every step in the journey. If you miss one of the messages, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts of Daily in the Word, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. By the way, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. I'll tell you about that after today's message. But first, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
I'm thankful that I serve a miracle-working God, a God who can take me out of the darkness and put me into the light. And today we're going to see God's wonderful miracle-working power as we turn to John chapter 9. Let's get our Bibles and be ready to learn from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, as we study this subject, seeing the light.
When I was a boy growing up, there was no more excitement in my life that could be felt than when my parents said, "We're going to go to the farm in Colorado." We lived in San Jose, California, and we'd get in the car and we'd drive down to Bakersfield and over to Mojave and then over to Barstow and up to Needles and over to Kingman and up to Flagstaff and up into the Four Corners. And I mean, I had every little coffee shop in my mind, and I couldn't wait till we got all the way to Colorado and spend some time on the farm. Everything about the farm was good. The garden was filled with raspberries that someone had to eat. The orchard had cherry trees and apple trees, and there were deer and rabbits running around, and even the chores were fun. Riding a John Deere tractor, that was great fun for a city kid, you know. Everything about it was great. There was only one place on the farm that I really hated to visit, and that one place was the fruit cellar. There was something about that fruit cellar. It was the darkest place in the whole wide world. And when my grandmother would say to me at the table, "I want you to go down to the fruit cellar and get some raspberries for the ice cream," at first I would just be so excited about raspberries and ice cream, but then I would remember having to go into that fruit cellar. I was convinced that every spider and goblin and every monster that ever existed lived in that dark, dark place. And so what I would do, I would go in very, very carefully, and I would try to find, back in those days, they had a string right in the middle. They did not put it by the door. They put it in the middle of the fruit cellar. And if you'd pull that string, the light would come on. And many a time I would be making my way into that cellar and trying to find that string, and I'd miss it with my hand, and it would hit me right on the face, and I'd be sure it was a spider or a goblin attacking me. And I would have to recourse back and then go in and try to find it again. But when the light came on, oh, the glory of seeing all those canned raspberries, all that fruit in there, just ready for someone to eat. There was nothing like having the light come on. And I'm going to tell you the story this morning from God's Word about a man who had the light come on. And you know, the great thing about this story is not merely the fact that he was once blind and then Jesus healed him, but it is the fact that spiritually he had no concept of who Jesus was, but then his eyes were opened to the truth of the gospel and he was saved the Bible way. Now, many people today reject Christ. They reject the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people in our society, many companies in our society, even the high courts sometimes strike down the privilege to teach about Jesus or display truth about Jesus Christ in public places. And that was the case in the life and ministry of Jesus many times. In fact, if you have a Bible, look at chapter 8 and verse 58, just a few verses up from where we read this morning. The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus Christ, as he taught the Sadducees and Pharisees, as he confronted the religious leaders of the day, he was presenting the truth of his deity to them. Very significant verse there in verse 58. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. This is teaching about the eternal preexistence of Jesus Christ. The fact that he did not merely begin his existence in Bethlehem's manger, but that Jesus is eternal God. Now, some of the cults deny that about Jesus Christ. They teach that he began in the manger or that he is one of many gods. But the Bible is very clear that he is the eternal God. Well, as Jesus presented that doctrine to them, the Bible says in verse 59, they took up stones to cast at him. I would remind you, when people don't accept your witness real quickly, or when people criticize your faith, not to be too discouraged, for these people took stones and they would have thrown them at Jesus if they could have. And yet the Bible says in chapter 9 and verse 1 that Jesus passed by. It says that Jesus was able to escape from their attempt to stone him. And when he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. This morning, I want you to see a day in the life of Jesus that really encapsulates his earthly ministry. This experience that he has with this blind man really illustrates for us the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. If you have your outline this morning, I draw your attention in the first place to the purpose of the Savior. The purpose of the Savior. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus Christ come down to this earth? I want you to notice the first purpose is stated in this fact that Jesus came to intervene. He came to intervene on our behalf. And I want you to notice something simple and yet very profound in verse 1. The Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now just think about this for a moment. If you had been teaching in the synagogue and in the temple, rather, and people were now so angry at you that they were about to take stones and throw them at you, and if you had been in such a situation and now you're somewhat hurriedly moving away from those who would stone you, if there had been someone on the side of the sidewalk who was blind, do you really think you would have noticed them at that moment? I have to admit, I don't think I would have. I think I would have been in such a hurry to get away from the people who wanted to kill me that the last person in the world I would have thought about is the guy sitting on the sidewalk, maybe with a cup asking for money or something like that. Now, some of you maybe are much more sensitive and much more merciful than I am, but I'm just thinking that that probably would have been my mode to get out of there fast. But notice what the Bible says in verse 1. He saw a man which was blind from birth. Jesus Christ came to this world to intervene on our behalf. And this man illustrates the love of God for everybody in this world. For if God would love a blind man who could offer him nothing, yet in this moment he observes his need, we see the intervening love of God. And we see that he intervened personally into his life. And we recognize that no need of our lives escapes the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word, and that's the eternal Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In other words, God could have just stayed in heaven and perhaps created some way to redeem the world apart from personally coming. But his method was that Jesus Christ would come in the flesh and that he would intervene on our behalf. What a tremendous thought. What love that God had to come down in the form of a man. An old preacher by the name of J. Vernon McGee used to tell a story about how ants would come in through his kitchen door. And he said one day there were thousands of ants coming in under that kitchen door. They were coming into his kitchen and they were about ready to carry away all of his groceries. And he said the only thing he really knew to do was to get some insecticide and just spray all those ants with that insecticide and take them out from their existence on this world. But he said, you know, I was thinking as I was doing that, that if I could have become an ant, that I could have got down there on the threshold of that door and I could have said, hey, all you millions of ants coming into my house, hey, don't come in here because if you do, there's judgment right around the corner. There's a big mean man with a bottle of Raid. And he said, I could have warned them if I could have become like them to communicate with them. Well, my friend, that's exactly what God did on our behalf. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to this world to intervene and to warn us so that we would not spend eternity apart from Christ in a terrible place called hell, but so that we might have an eternal life in heaven with him. He intervened personally, and Jesus intervened with urgency. Notice in verse 4 what Jesus said. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. My friend, this morning, every one of us must recognize this life is but a vapor. Jesus knew that his earthly ministry would end in 33 and a half years of life. He would quickly see that life end on the old rugged cross. And every one of us must recognize the Bible's teaching. What is your life? It is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanisheth away. It is appointed unto man, the Bible says, once to die. But after this, the judgment. Therefore, every one of us must recognize that if we are going to witness for Christ, if we are going to let our light shine for Christ, then we must do it while we can, while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Why did Jesus come? He came to intervene on our behalf. Notice, secondly, he came to instruct us concerning the seasons of life, to instruct us. In verse 2, the Bible says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Have you ever met somebody like that? They always have to find the worst in a situation. And here is the blind man. And Jesus is coming away from the temple, his disciples with him. And the disciples say, Lord, why is this man blind? What in the world is wrong with his family? Some people always think the worst of a situation. Well, Jesus instructs them in verse 3. He says, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. They supposed perhaps his parents had sinned. That was the Jewish custom. If a person was born blind, it was because the parents had sinned. But Jesus said his parents did not sin, but that the works of God might be made manifest. The word manifest means that which was hidden is now revealed. And God said, my power, which is unknown to many people, is going to be revealed through the miracle that's about to take place in this man's life. I'm thankful that we have a God who instructs us and reminds us that even the trials of life have a purpose. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 2, the Bible simply says, all things come alike to all. In other words, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes good things happen to bad people. All things come alike to all. Jesus said, there's no accident, however, in this. It's that my work might be made manifest in his life. And one of the things I love about the Lord Jesus Christ is that while the disciples were trying to assign blame to somebody, Jesus was looking to solve the problem. There are a lot of blame throwers in this world, but Jesus is a problem solver, and he wants to see this man healed. He didn't want to just stand around and complain about what happened and why it happened and whose fault it was, but Jesus wanted to make a difference in their life. And so he says, this happened that the works of God might be made manifest. The purpose of Jesus Christ, he came to intervene on our behalf. He came to instruct us concerning the trials of life. And thirdly, Jesus came to illuminate this world spiritually. This world is often referred to spiritually as a dark place, but Jesus came to lighten this world. The Bible says in verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The Bible says in John chapter 8, if you'll turn back there just briefly, and in verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now listen carefully. There are many spiritual lights in this world. There are many involved in meditation and New Age reasoning and New Age thought. There are many who talk about their illuminating power. You'll see that in the New Age section of some of the bookstores, filled with demonic thoughts about illumination. You'll hear about it many times in even children's novels, which I do not recommend, like Harry Potter, where they learn about witchcraft and wizardry and illumination of a different sort. There are many kinds of lights in this world, but there is only one true spiritual light, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a little guy, sometimes we'd go to Disneyland and we'd ride amongst other rides, the Peter Pan ride. Boy, we'd get in that Peter Pan ride and we'd get flying over and you'd look down and why, there were little lights flickering up at you. There were thousands of them to give the feeling that perhaps you were flying over a very large city. But you know, those lights really represented just a facade of a city. They were representing something that was not real. And these New Age teachings that talk about their angels of light are representing not the light of Jesus Christ, but a facade, and will lead men and women the wrong direction spiritually. The Bible says in Revelation 21, 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, speaking of heaven, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Listen to this, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Sometimes our choir sings a song, the Lamb became the light. That song is directly from the Bible, as are all of the songs we try to sing at Lancaster Baptist Church, biblically based songs. And the Bible says the Lamb, Jesus Christ, becomes the light and he illuminates heaven. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The purpose of the Savior's coming is that he might intervene. I mean, Jesus wants to intersect with you this morning and he wants to present his truth to you this morning because he loves you and he does not want you to face judgment. He wants to instruct you. He wants to illuminate our lives with the light of his glorious gospel. But notice secondly this morning, the power of the Savior. Not only do we see his wonderful purpose, but we see in this chapter the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 6, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, I want you to imagine that in your mind. I will not illustrate that on Brother Smith this morning. All right, Brother Smith? But Jesus Christ reached down and he took a little of clay from the ground and with a little spittle, he put this clay into perhaps a form of mud and he anointed the man's eyes. What an unorthodox thing from our perspective. And he told the man to go to the pool of Siloam and to wash therein. And I want you to notice this morning that there is power in the spoken word of God. There are many times in our lives when God's word does not make sense to us in the way of just our logical thinking. Sometimes in the Bible, the way up is down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Sometimes the way to receive is to give. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and running together, shall men give into your bosom. The Bible speaks of things in ways that are sometimes paradoxical to us, and yet when we study God's Word, we find that He always has a reason, He always has a method, though it may not be our reason or our method, He is always working. And He is always working through His Word. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:26 that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. God says, I want to set your life apart by the teaching of my Word. How we thank God for the powerful Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says it this way. For the Word of God is quick, that means it is alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says that it is able to discern between our thoughts and intents. And the Bible is powerful to come into our heart and to carve away those presumptuous ways and to get right into the heart of the matter in our lives. God's Word is very, very powerful. But notice secondly, not only is the Word of God powerful when it is spoken, but secondly, there is a performance when the Word of God is obeyed. When we obey God's Word, then there is an endowment, there is an outpouring of God's blessing, there is a performance of God's work in us when we obey the Bible. Now, we can read all day long, for example, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We can read that, but until we start loving our wives, there is not going to be the unleashing of God's blessing. We can read wives are to support and love their husbands, or we can read about what the Bible says concerning many other things. But it's one thing to see the Word. It's another thing to obey the Word.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel and the Daily in the Word radio broadcast coming to you from Lancaster, California, where Pastor Chapel serves as the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. The series is 2020 Vision. We're discovering God's perspective and God's vision for our daily lives. If today's message has encouraged you and you'd like to hear it again, or perhaps refer a friend, or listen to recent messages in this series 2020 Vision, you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org is a wonderful stop for spiritual resources to encourage your walk with Christ. You can listen to recent broadcasts, subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, or subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it at your leisure and at your convenience. Perhaps consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org. Well, before we wrap up the program and share a gift with you, here's Pastor Chapel with a word of greeting.
I trust the broadcast and the lessons from Daily in the Word are a blessing in your life on a daily basis. And I'd like to take a moment to encourage you as a listener and friend of the Daily in the Word broadcast to consider making a donation to Daily in the Word. We are thrilled that God has allowed us to spread the broadcast across the nation on various stations, but we always appreciate the encouragement and support of faithful friends like you. Would you take a moment sometime today and perhaps remember us by donating online at dailyintheword.org? Just find the tab that says Donate, or perhaps you'd rather write a check and mail to Lancaster, California, a gift through Daily in the Word Ministries. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. Thank you for remembering us as we share the Word of God daily with you.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chapel. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chappell and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day. Thank you.